Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If that line forms on the right, babe, not that man. Back in time. Look out, old Mac is back.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How we doing? 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. Got you for 3 hours, as I normally do. Taking you to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Fleegum on the other side. We're taking your phone calls for the next 3 hours right here on the Fan. You know, we're going to get to the Mets because, hey, pennant race baseball is fun. And they pull out a game against Washington where the bats continue to be ice cold, but they do just enough. The pitching continues to be great. We're going to get to it. But we have to discuss what we just saw on Monday Night Football on ESPN, whichever broadcast you were watching. You saw the Eagles blow a game they absolutely had in the bag. And, you know, something about this game, I have to admit, I tweeted it out. When I promoted this show, I tweeted out saying, you know, pennant race baseball is fun. That's kind of been my slogan here for these two teams playing pennant race baseball. And I said, watching the Eagles lose in heartbreaking fashion is fun because, hey, I'm a Giant fan, right? And if not, Philly, New York, we all, no one likes Philly. We don't even like when our players wear Philly's jerseys, and we got to get to that as well. But I like watching the Eagles lose, right? Of course I do. Who doesn't if you're a Giant fan? Who doesn't? I like watching the Eagles lose. I like the fact that the coach is an idiot. I like the fact they passed up 3 points in the early part of the game. I like the fact they're doing ridiculous play calls at the end of the game. I like the fact that Kirk Cousins goes down the field with a minute 39 left. Primetime Kirk goes right down the field against this Eagles defense. He didn't even need a minute 30. They actually got the ball back, believe it or not, Philadelphia, with time to possibly do something. And I like watching Hurts throw an interception in the game. It was great. It was all great. But Giants fans, I'm sorry. We are embarrassing ourselves laughing at Saquon Barkley. The idea that we are somehow, I like watching the Eagles lose, but somehow we're going to feel better. We're going to laugh. We're going to celebrate that the former Giant Saquon Barkley dropped a pass that cost him the game, and no doubt he did. And if you don't want to know what I'm talking about, you should. But go back and watch the game because the Eagles have this game wrapped up with a minute and 40 on third down and 4. And they call a pass play. They have Saquon Barkley out in the flat. I think it's a ridiculous call. I think you run the football, make take the 40 seconds off the clock. You've been running the ball successfully all night long. Saquon Barkley's played well. The running game has been good. And even if you don't get the first down, if you come up relatively short and you still want to call that play to win the game on fourth down, you have the tush push that is a cheat code. You can't lose. You always get that. Worst case scenario, you've got a team playing for three instead of a touchdown, by the way. If you get stuck in the fourth down and you get stopped, they're only playing for three, probably worst case scenario with 30 seconds left or something. Maybe you're playing overtime. The Eagles made a ridiculous call. They got beaten heartbreaking fashion. And as a Giant fan, I love it. But what I won't do is point to a drop pass from Saquon Barkley that absolutely cost them the game and somehow try to justify the disgusting nature of what my team has become. Because I'll tell you right now, I was the first person when I saw the decision made by the New York Giants. I was the first person when I saw Hard Knocks Offseason Edition. when they decided not to sign Saquon Barkley. I didn't want to draft Saquon Barkley. I have been almost exclusively anti-Saquon Barkley on the New York Giants as anyone. Drafting him was a mistake. Giving him a contract would have been a mistake. It was time to move on, mainly because the Giants aren't good enough to justify playing a running back. Let's not remake history. And although, yes, he's dropped a pass here or two, and yes, he's had a play here or two, and sure, maybe he had an opportunity to win a game or two more for the New York Giants than he did. But let's not make this about, oh, welcome to Philadelphia, Saquon. This is what Saquon does. Saquon's a losing player. The Giants don't have Saquon Barkley because he didn't make enough good plays. Let's not have revisionist history. He's somewhere else because they couldn't justify paying him because the roster's not good enough to warrant paying a running back. Because they just got beat by the Washington Commanders with scoring 3 touchdowns and allowing none. We're laughing at Saquon Barkley when the Giants are the laughingstock of the NFL? This is where we're getting our glories from? This is where we get our kicks? Watching Saquon Barkley drop a pass and making it seem like as if that's why he's not a New York Giant, because he didn't make enough good plays. And here you go, Philadelphia. Enjoy your Saquon Barkley, who scored 3 touchdowns in week 1 and helped them get to the point where they should have iced the game with a minute and 39 left. I am sorry, but this is flat out embarrassing, the reaction I'm seeing on Twitter from Giant fans. The joy that the Giant fan is trying to take from a Philadelphia loss like it's even a rivalry anymore. I like watching them lose, but let's be honest. Oh, what does this do? What does this do? Make them 1-1 like it matters. Like it matters where they are in the standings. They kick the tar out of the New York Giants every single chance they get. Every single meaningful game played New York versus Philadelphia has gone the same way, going back all the way to the 2000 playoffs. And now we're going to sit here straight-faced and take solace and joy in the fact Saquon Barkley dropped the pass and make it seem as if that's the kind of thing why he's not here? That's right. Saquon Barkley's not good enough for this team. That's why he's not here. That's right. Saquon Barkley's not a good enough player. That's why he's not a Giant. Welcome to Philadelphia. Here you go, Eagles fans. Enjoy all the drop passes. Meanwhile, yesterday's game, or Sunday's game, rather, for the New York Giants, the new weapon, the new star wide receiver, that we are all just enthralled with, 10 catches, 100-plus yards. He's the new real. Wait, what? You don't need a running back. You need a star wide receiver out there on the outside making plays for Daniel Jones. He just did the exact same thing. We just lost the game because our new stud offensive player dropped a pass on 4th down that could have helped them win the game. It just happened to us. And we're laughing at Saquon Barkley. What are we doing? What are we? Are we trying to? I know the football season's dead. It's dead for the New York Giants. It's absolutely dead. You just heard all this stuff. We don't even know. We can't get a kicker on the field in back-to-back seasons. They have started 0-2 9 out of the last 12 years. This is a team in Philadelphia you know is going to the playoffs. This is a team in Philadelphia who beats the crap out of the New York Giants. And while I agree, I'm glad Saquon Barkley is not on the Giants because we're not good enough to justify paying him. That's why. Not because of drop passes. Not because of all the times I can point to Saquon Barkley cost the Giants games. And don't get me, I'm glad. And that's like, we've been talking about it. I've been talking about it. Giant fans agree with me. I don't care he's with Philadelphia. I don't care. After week 1, oh, like I'm supposed to be all upset that Saquon Barkley scored 3 touchdown passes and helped them beat Green Bay out in Brazil. That's supposed to upset me? Doesn't upset me, none. Well, how can you say that? And then the first chance you get to jump on the guy, The first chance you get to say, ah, ha, 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 you see, we take it. You can't have it both ways. You either don't care he's in Philadelphia or you hung up on it and you spend the night gloating as a New York Giant fan on your way to 3 wins and another top 5 pick in the NFL, which they'll probably get wrong, by the way. And we're laughing at Saquon Barkley because he dropped a pass. When our new stud offensive player, who's going to lead us into the future, who's going to be, you know, some people have already said, the greatest wide receiver in the history of the franchise, this next great talent just did the same thing. And we're laughing today. And we're enjoying it. I enjoy watching them lose. There's a million things about this game. Watching Kirk Cousins, Mr. Primetime, Mr. Can't Win a Game at night, goes right down the field, easy, within a couple of plays and sticks it in the end zone to break their heart. The coach making a ridiculous play call. Now, I know they schemed it up, and if you watched it, Saquon Barkley is wide open. If he catches it, they win the game. But you've got to run the football there, and then even if you get close, you have a cheat code play. I love the idea the coach is a moron. I love the idea the coach is out there declining the penalty, acting like he's Bill Belichick and the smartest man in the NFL. But you could see how happy he was with himself, declining that offsides penalty earlier in that drive. I love that it came back to bite him. I love Philadelphia lost this game. But the idea as Giant fans, we are going to try and spin the narrative of go enjoy that running back, Philadelphia, when we know damn well the reason he's not here is he's too good for us. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm in any Giant fan who is gloating at the idea that Saquon Barkley dropped that pass is should be embarrassed of themselves. Any Giant fan who's going to, as I'm watching an infomercial on SNY right now about a bed and a pillow, anybody who's going to go to peacefully sleep tonight, lay on the pillow, and have a big smile on their face that Saquon Barkley is the reason, or that one play is the reason in your mind, that Philadelphia lost that game and we can somehow take solace in it in a team that's about to win 2 or 3 games this season, that is an absolute disgrace that the rest of the NFL is laughing at, in their 100th season, doing things the NFL has never seen in those 100 years. Losing games to rookie quarterbacks who can't do anything but scramble at the moment. Losing games because they don't have a kicker, because they didn't think it was worthy having one when they knew he was injured, which, by the way, happened to them last year. The exact same scenario. We're not smart enough to make sure we can kick field goals. We lost a game to Washington where we didn't have a kicker and they didn't need a punter. But we're laughing at a drop pass last night. We're not allowed to laugh. There is no joy in Mudville. You want to enjoy Philadelphia fans leaving their home opener after not having lost a game in September for their last 7 times, the longest streak in the NFL? You want to laugh at the idea that this fan base and that franchise who has owned the New York Giants. Took a tough one, had to go home, fine. If you want to make this, as a Giant fan, some sort of referendum on the decision to move on from Saquon Barkley, and that this is somehow proof that it was the right move when he scored 3 touchdowns in week 1. And believe me, that didn't bother me, and I don't care. And I don't care that he's with Philadelphia. And I don't care that he's not a Giant, but let's get the real reason he's not a Giant. The real reason he's not a Giant is because it doesn't make sense paying him when he can't impact winning the way he can in Philadelphia. The Giants aren't good enough to justify paying Saquon $12 million, whether it's to score 3 touchdowns or to drop game losing passes. Either way. Saquon Barkley is not a Giant for money and because the roster doesn't warrant it. Not because we've seen enough of this crap. And now it's your problem. Now it's your problem? Unbelievable. Unbelievable the amount of taking bows about Saquon Barkley being a Philadelphia Eagle. I cannot, I mean, I'm as happy as anyone that they lost this game. And you can go through it. There's a million different things about this game that are awesome. Watching this team, the way they collapsed last year, right, head into this game, completely spit the bit. Because you know what? They didn't have to allow the Falcons and Kirk Cousins to go right down the field for a game-winning touchdown. They didn't have to allow that, even after the drop pass. As well as the play was designed, and as much as it would have been successful if Saquon Barkley caught the ball, I think it's a stupid play call. Run the football. Run the clock out. There's a million different, they got, you know, the penalties, they got a break when it looked like to me the helmet was ripped off. I know it was kind of contact when they stuffed Atlanta on the 4th-and-1. But I thought they should have been penalized there. There's a lot of unique things to this game. And a lot of things that Giant fans can have fun at Philadelphia's expense for a moment. The idea that Saquon Barkley dropped a pass should not be one of them. It's embarrassing. The Giants aren't good enough to justify Saquon Barkley dropping passes for them. That's the bottom line. And if we're going to pretend that it doesn't bother us when he scores 3 touchdowns, you can't get all high and mighty when he drops a pass. Especially when you just embarrassed yourself for the first 2 weeks of the season, being absolutely dominated by Sam Darnold in a no-show home opener. Then going to Washington, a place, the only place where they've traditionally played well over the last 5 or 6 years, have a roster malfunction that people are calling malpractice, to not have a kicker ready to go with Graham Gano on the injury report. To win the touchdown battle 3-0 and lose. And when the new offensive weapon that even myself is extremely high on, that we're all hopeful is going to be a guy who can make dynamic plays and can lead this offense, when he did the exact same thing. Don't take it out on Saquon Barkley because the Giants are 0-2, staring another dead season in the face. And certainly, let's not make it anything other than what it is. He's not here because we're not good enough to justify keeping him. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. And it's just, it's mind-numbing to me because this Giant thing is such a damn mess. And I'm not going to take the easy way out and celebrate last night. I'm not going to put on my smoking jacket, put my feet up, make myself a martini and go, he dropped a pass. I'm not in the mood. I can't move on from Sunday's debacle as quickly as many others. Let's talk some Mets baseball in a little bit. 888-808-1019. We'll talk Giants as well. I didn't really give you my thoughts on the, I don't even know what to call it. I've used debacle like 3 or 4 times, so I got to get a thesaurus. But what Gerrit Cole did on Saturday, it's still gnawing at me. So we got to get to that and that pathetic display of just fear put right in front of the entire world to see by the ace of the New York Yankees. We got to get to that. Of course, as they start a series on the West Coast in Seattle, for a big pennant race for themselves, the Mets victory.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
During the offense is still slumbering.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 227. I feel better. I'm just too annoyed at the Giants and that game on Sunday to like take bows about this. And I know all the people who follow The Fan, if you're listening, you're obviously a fan of The Fan, or at least a fan of me. Hey. But, you know, Marash put out the video. It's not just him. I was listening to calls coming in. People, my buddies on my group chat, who are, for the most, I think there's like one Jet fan, one Dolphins fan, and the rest of us are all Giant fans. So we were talking about it. I got a bunch of ha-has. Barkley, what a loser. And it's just like, I like watching the Eagles lose. And everything about that game was awesome. But I'm more frustrated that our guy didn't catch the pass to maybe have us 1-1 tied with everybody else in the division right now. And feeling like maybe, just maybe, we could fool ourselves into thinking a season was upon us. And it's just like, we all know why he's not here. And it certainly isn't that we've seen enough of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard, I hate to tie things into the Yankees because they have the Yankee shill stuff, but sometimes it just, the analogies work. And I was listening to Keith talking about Clay Holmes. He's a big time, not a Clay Holmes guy. Like, if Clay Holmes were to leave the Yankees, and I know Barkley's much better, but like if something like that happens, and then Clay Holmes blows a save for the Boston Red Sox next year, then you go, ha ha ha, Boston, deal with it. Something like that. Or Gleyber Torres, better example, goes somewhere and makes an error for whatever team he signs for. Say the Astros pick him up to play whatever. I know they have a second baseman, whoever. And you go, ha ha, finally someone else has to deal with this Gleyber Torres making boneheaded plays. Even better example, my guy Pete Alonso signs somewhere else and disappears in September on the pennant race for the San Francisco Giants. Ha ha ha, Giants, deal with our guy who can't hit in the postseason. It's, oh yeah, sure, 30 home runs, 40 home runs, great, he can't hit in the clutch, ha ha ha. That's something. Saquon Barkley is not a Giant. No Giant fan was like, oh man, thank God he's gone. I'm sick of seeing him not get the first down. I'm sick of him not making plays. He was the offense for 5 years. Any plays we made, it was him. So I found it puzzling, the reaction. You want to laugh at the head coach? You want to laugh at the Eagles defense? You want to laugh that Kirk Cousins went right down the field and beat you on a Monday night where he's typically horrendous in prime time? All fair. But if we weren't crying in our cereal about 3 touchdowns in Brazil, we shouldn't be taking bows for a drop pass that cost the Eagles a game last night for Saquon Barkley. That's all. And it's just mind-numbing to me. 888-808-1019. Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Chris, how you doing tonight?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Listen, that was a good game tonight. I mean, Kirk Cousins, man, he can still do it.
He looked a hell of a lot better than he did his first game back. Yeah, I mean, he still had moments, but he looked and obviously went right down the field. Obviously, Bijan Robinson was running the ball like crazy, especially in the first half. It slowed down in the second half, but they were running the football. He was playing great. They look like a It looks like they mentioned a couple times on the broadcast between how they played tonight in Philadelphia and you got what the Saints have done the first 2 weeks. That division might be a hell of a lot better than we thought it was.
Yeah, yeah. What I wanted to say is that this year, the Giants, if you're a Giants fan,
yes,
you're thinking not can they win this week, but will they play well enough to cover? I mean, if they're not even covering the spread,
yeah,
by week 10, Bill Belichick is going to start looking better and better. Because even if you're not betting the game, I mean, covering the spread is a good gauge about how Brian Daboll is doing as a head coach. What do you think about that?
I don't know, because if you look at it last year, they did a really good job covering the spread. Even while they were losing at the end of the, all of last year. And I didn't think he did a particularly good job. I mean, I don't know. The NFL isn't about moral victories and covering the spread. You might be right on what it's going to be Giant fans focusing on, because that's all that's left to focus on, and whether or not I can win a bet with the Giants or if Neighbors is going to help me in my fantasy football team. That's it. That's what we'll be focused on, but I don't know if it's any real indication. You want me to, if they win two games this year, but they kept 14 of the losses close or covered the spread, they're a touchdown underdog in Cleveland. They lose by 5. I'm supposed to go, hey, nice job. I can't. But you're right. The season's dead. And we're literally mourning a dead season week 2 in September. The Eagles haven't lost a game in their last seven attempts prior to last night in September. They kicked the crap out of us in any meaningful game that we've ever played in more than 2 decades. And they took Saquon Barkley because they have a roster and an offensive line where it actually makes sense to pay a running back that kind of money. And the first chance we get, here we are, gloating. I'm not in the mood to gloat as a New York Giant fan. I'm just not. I can enjoy what happened last night. I can laugh at the Eagles a little bit, but I can laugh at the head coach and some of the blunders he made. I can laugh at that defense and maybe, take solace in a little bit. Like, as at least last night, they didn't look like a team that's destined to be right there with the 49ers, although they had a setback against Minnesota. Or, I know they're a playoff team, but are they a Super Bowl team? That defense just got picked apart at the end of the game. Richie in Mineola. What's up, Richie?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Great monologue there.
And
I am a Giant fan, and this season is definitely toast. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you could tell in the offseason, that the quarterback wasn't ready. Whatever it is, we stink. And I'm a big fan of Barkley. Always was. And I have no ill will. But can we talk about this coach for Philly for a second?
Sure.
Because that's all that, to me, this guy is he's so impressed with himself.
Yeah.
That he took a game. To me, it's a math problem. It's not a Barkley problem. But in a way, okay, they just showed a stat. I don't know if you saw this or you talked about it. They just showed a stat on ESPN that since 2021, he has more drops than any running back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you do?
Yeah, that's definitely true, and he's got to catch it. I'm not trying to tell you that Saquon Barkley isn't the reason they lost. I mean, he catches that ball, win.
To me, it's not.
It's partly.
They signed this guy to be a running back, so we know what his strengths are. Run this guy up the middle. First of all, you can't lose this game. It's impossible unless you have an arrogant coach like this guy who decided that he's going to change the rules of football. He'd throw a flat pass on the outside. First of all, anything can happen on a pass play. It can get deflected. It could
anything
can
happen on a run play. You could fumble.
Well, yes, but remember, if there's a great chance that Saquon's going to take it up the middle and not fumble, and that's all. It doesn't matter, even if he goes down at all. Okay, if he caught that ball, there's a chance he might have got knocked out of bounds.
That doesn't matter.
And then the clock stops, too.
No, but he would have had the first down. He might have got knocked out of bounds, but it would have been after he got the first down. They could have taken knees.
The one thing you cannot have happen there
is
for the clock to stop. That's the only way the Eagles lose that game.
Without getting the first down, clearly. Yes.
Yes.
Stop the clock without getting the first down. It's the only way they're in the game.
And that's what he figured out, the only play that could make that happen.
Yep.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he comes over and he's consoling Saquon like it's his fault.
Well,
absolutely wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you're partially right. I agree with you. I would have run the football. Because here, I'll paint the scenario here in a second. But let me just, on why I would have run the football and the ramifications of even failing with running the football. But,
yeah,
you're right. I don't like the play call you run. It's a stupid call from the head coach. It doesn't change the fact that an NFL player, one who's as talented as Saquon Barkley, all he has to do is make the simplest of catches. It hits him right in the hands. They drew up a play, and they executed it perfectly. They put it right on his hands. The game is over if he catches it. And he drops the easiest of passes. Now, that, I mean, it's both ways. I mean, they schemed up a play that they figured they were going to run the ball. They surprised the defense. They drew the play up perfectly. If he executes and catches the ball, it's not like he has to do anything crazy. He doesn't have to hurdle anybody. Doesn't have to get 15 yards. All he has to do is catch the ball and turn up. And they win the game. So it's both. I just don't want to eliminate Saquon Barkley from the blame of it all. He definitely, and I hope my rant about it doesn't mean I don't blame Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's got to catch that ball, of course. He cost his team the game. It works both ways. I hate the play call. I agree with you. I run the football. But that doesn't change the fact that all he had to do was catch the easiest of passes. I mean, it wasn't a difficult catch over the middle. He didn't. It wasn't like they needed 15 yards or so. He's done it a million times. He catches that ball. They win. And he dropped it. So it's on him as well. But I do think the play calling is stupid. And there's a bunch of reasons. I'll get into it right here real quick. You run the football there, obviously. One, you keep the clock moving. And you run it down to, what would it have been? Maybe a minute, a little less than a minute. And even if you don't get it, you can kick the field goal, go up six, and make them go the whole field. You kick it out of bounds. You get the touchback. You make them go whole field for the touchdown with less time, no timeouts. Obviously, that's a good scenario. And then the other scenario to me is, even if you run the ball and don't get it, I would imagine you're going to get something. You're going to get a yard or two. I mean, he just ran the ball for almost a first down on second down. Second and 10, he ran it 9 yards. It was initially called a first down and then called back earlier in the drive. They were running the football. Run the football. If you get 3 yards, 2 yards, you have a push play that is a lock for a yard. It's a guarantee. And then here's my point. Even if you don't get it, right, you run two more plays. Even if you don't get it, you're going to leave them 30 seconds, I don't know, max 30, 40 seconds max to go down the field. And in that scenario, only down three, like even if you don't kick the field goal, you go for a third, you go for it on fourth, you don't get it. Like me and Fliegelman were talking about this. Now the Falcons are playing for 3 points. They're not trying to score a touchdown. They're only going to try and kick a field goal. You eliminate. You are not going to lose that football game unless you have something like, you know, that happened with the Saints and the Minnesota, where Diggs somehow gets behind the defense and scores a touchdown. Like, you are not going to give up a touchdown there. Worst case scenario, you're playing overtime. Like, there is no reason to put the ball in the air. I agree. It doesn't change the fact that Saquon Barkley's got to catch that ball. Both things can be true. George in Manhattan. What's up, George?
Okay. So, Chris, yes, long sir. Time no speak. Always a pleasure. Always an honor. Here's the thing. I want to get into Austin Siebert for a moment because the media didn't touch a lot. I mean, this guy was 7 for 7.
Yes.
Okay, in field goals. Okay, let me ask you a question in your astute knowledge of football.
Sure, my very
astute. How many kickers can you name that went either 7 for 7 or 8 for 8? I mean, you read after, you know, but before this happened.
Yeah.
Not a lot of folks could probably run that off because I think the importance of field goals in the modern era is somewhat diminished to what it actually is. Is that a fair statement? That now, I mean, Siebert, I mean, my God, this is a talent, 7 for 7. There's very few men that have done that in the history of the NFL.
Well, because there's very, I don't even know how many have attempted 7 field goals. And I think the issue is there was a 145 yarder, but you're talking about a 27-yard field goal, a 45-yard field goal, a 26-yard field goal, a 27-yard field goal, a 29-yard field goal, a 33-yard field goal, and a 30-yard field goal. I mean, and in today's football, a lot of those are extra points. Like, it wasn't he had to kick any difficult field goals. But you're right, 7-for-7 is impressive. I'm not saying it's not, but you're saying it should be a bigger story inside that game and inside the NFL that a kicker went 7-for-7?
Correct, because if you had... And the other point I was going to make, and this is critical, and I don't think it's been made in the last few days, is I am a proponent, Chris. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not... Maybe I'm a contrarian, but I don't consider myself a contrarian. I have two men... On the 46 roster, two kickers, not just one, because even though it's a rare occurrence, what occurred here, it can occur again. And it seems like the cost, it just makes total sense to have two kickers, because these punters are, I would argue, are less effective at accuracy and given, obviously, they're less effective, but they're far less effective than even 20 years ago when they were more straight on. Like, Mark Moseley was a straight on kicker. You remember, you've seen film of him, correct?
I've known the name. I've heard the name, but no, I can't tell you.
Okay. But he was a straight on kicker.
Soccer style kicker. Good.
Where would you go with what I said? I want to hear your analysis.
I heard a bunch of people. I saw a bunch of people think that there should be a designated extra kicker, just not part of the 53-man roster, or just in case, because the product on the field suffers so greatly and it's such a critical part. Maybe adding a 54th man to every roster to account for an extra kicker. Bottom line is, we can discuss that all we want. It happens very rarely, and I think it makes sense. I mean, how many times can you punt at practice? Like, you would think that a punter would be able to work on extra points and field goals enough, where if you were in some kind of dilemma, I'm not saying you're going to attempt a 55-yard field goal with them, but you should be... I would think, like, a punter could punt enough at practice to still feel good about his punting skills and have enough time to work on just being a serviceable extra point type kicker. I would think that. But the bottom line is, they knew he had an injury and it happened to him last year. Like, I'm not trying to solve the ills of the NFL here. I'm not trying to figure out what's the best way to go about, if this happens to somebody else. The Giants were negligent in the idea that they knew he had an injury. And I'll give Brian Daboll a modicum of liberty here, and I'll give him a little bit of leash, saying I'm not a doctor either, and I don't know if running full speed and pulling a hamstring is absolutely 100% connected to his groin, or that even if he had a perfectly healthy groin, he still couldn't have pulled a hamstring running, chasing a kickoff. Like, I don't know that for a fact, but it could have been on a kick. It could have been on anything. He had a groin. You have to have the backup there. You have to be able and comfortable with someone who can kick extra points. Now, I'm also not even sure it's the reason they lost the game. They might have still lost this game even with a kicker. Like, I think too many people are just flat out saying, if you have a kicker, you win the game. Like, I don't know that to be true. I really don't. I don't know that to be true. Because I think they scored a third touchdown where they wouldn't have had they had a kicker that they would have tried a 30-yard field goal with. Like, I don't know. But what I do know is that doesn't take them off the hook. You have to have someone there you're comfortable kicking field goals. Have to. And he didn't. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hi. Chris, I'm not sure about the diminished value of the field goal. I mean, you could ask Andy Reid how he would feel about that.
I agree. I don't know if the field goal has been diminished in today's day and age. We're seeing longer field goals more than ever. The extra point is now a more difficult play than ever, longer kick than ever. Like, I don't know if it has been diminished. We see a lot of games won on last second field goals. So
this whole thing with Saquon. Look, first of all, right, what you said, that the guy was the Giants offense for 5 years. I'm not exactly rooting for the Eagles as much as I want to see Saquon. I'm rooting for Saquon wherever he goes. I wish him well. And I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
He has the most drops.
I'll bet he also has the most targets, too, as a running back. Or he's top five.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. He's probably somewhere up there. Now, look, I think there's a line here. You don't have to root for Saquon Barkley. In fact, I'm glad he dropped the pass. I want the Eagles to lose. I'm not rooting for Saquon Barkley openly. Like, do I wish him the best? Yeah, as much as anyone. I wish him health. I don't wish him any ill will. He gave everything he could to this franchise. He felt like he deserved more money than they wanted to give him. That's well within his right. They play a dangerous game. Look what's happened to Tua. Look what we see to these ex-NFL players and the damage that it does to your body. He's entitled to get every dollar he thinks he's entitled to. And he went out there and got him. I don't hold an ounce of ill will towards Saquon Barkley. Not an ounce. But I don't have to root for him. In fact, I'm glad he dropped the pass. I want the Eagles to lose. That's fine. You can root against him. You can cheer. You can be happy about it. As a Giant fan, you can't gloat. That's what you can't do. And you can't change the narrative. I don't care if he led the world in drop passes, led the world in fumbles. You know damn well Saquon Barkley is not gone because he didn't make enough plays, or he dropped too many passes, or he wasn't good in the clutch, or they felt they could do better. That is not why Saquon Barkley is not here. I'm glad he's not here. I don't want him. I didn't want him here because of the money. I don't think that position with the current shape of the Giants roster was warranted. I think the Giants did the right thing to move on. I think it worked out exactly how it should have, except the fact that I wish he was going to play for, I don't know, I wish he was out there playing for Denver. I wish he was playing in the AFC West, so I'd have to see him less. You know, that's what I would want. But ultimately, I'm glad he's not here. He got his money. Everything worked out exactly as it should have. I'm happy about the situation. But that doesn't change the fact that it's for one reason and one reason only, because he's too good for us. That's exactly why he's not here. He's too good for the New York Giants. He's that $12 million contract or whatever the exact parameters of the contract were, it wasn't justified to pay him when the offensive line's what it's been, when the defensive backfield what it is, when this team is what it is. It doesn't make sense to pay a running back that much money. It's the only reason why he's here. So while I might root for him to drop that pass, and while I might have smiled, clapped my hands, jumped up, went exactly as Peyton Manning did, which, by the way, that's my favorite thing of the Peyton Manning broadcast, and I don't watch a lot of it. I don't know why. I like them and everything, but I end up just watching the regular game, even while they're interviewing Kelsey, which was impossible to deal with. But I did see some of the clips, and I did watch for a second. Peyton Manning acts like a fan. And for him to, like, literally be so pissed off that Saquon Barkley dropped that pass that he had to, like, take a walk around the room, that's exactly me. I love watching that. And that's so into who Peyton Manning actually is. I thought that was a great clip of him being so frustrated that Saquon Barkley dropped the pass that he had to actually walk away. Like, Keith Hernandez is like that, too. Keith Hernandez can put himself... I love Keith. My favorite thing... Fliegelman said that to me in my ears, and that's what... I'm off on a rant here. But the best thing about Keith Hernandez is he puts himself in the position of being either a fan or rooting for or expecting something from the other team. Like, no other broadcaster in all of sports gets so upset when the other team makes a mistake like Keith. He'll be like, what are you doing? Like, no, every other broadcaster takes it from the, oh my God, look at the advantage the Yankees got. Look at the advantage the Mets got. Look at the advantage the Giants got. Oh, can you believe he dropped the ball? Oh, the Mets better take advantage of this. Not Keith. Keith is like, how could he do that? What an idiot. Oh my God, I'd be sick. Like, he always is able to put himself in the rooting interest of the other team, and I love it. And that's what you got a little bit of Peyton Manning. But while I applauded him dropping that pass, I was excited about it. I chuckled. I laughed. I said, oh, my God, you're so stupid for calling it. Saquon, you bum. I said all that. But then I didn't go and, like, you know, gloat to my friends and, you know, call up the fan and say, ha, 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 now he's somebody else's problem. When the fact of the matter is he scored 3 touchdowns the week before. And neighbors, our new offensive leader, the guy we are turning to as Giant fans, to lead us into the promised land and be the offensive weapon like Saquon Barkley was, just did the exact same thing. He just dropped an easy pass to help them win the game. Like, it was 2 days ago. It's hard for me to gloat. Hard for me to gloat. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Don? How you doing this
good
morning?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm not a Giants fan, but I'd like to touch in on a comment real quick on the Giants, if I can. And if I get a chance, so I'd like to squeeze in a little Jets and a little Yankees. These trucks always mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's going to pull up and stop right in front of me. Wow, city waste. Thank you. Brother Mac, you know, I don't want to, like, pick sides with this whole conversation with the whole kicker thing with the Giants, but I heard something said, and I just wanted to speak to that. There's a totally different discipline between being a field goal kicker and being a punter. The way they approach the ball, the things that they do.
Oh, it's
as
not,
far as,
yeah, it's not
you know, what
the same
they're going
thing.
Through in their dynamic to get their result is totally different.
Well, of course,
and I've
that's
heard
why,
people say things.
Yeah,
I've heard people say things like, you know, how come, you know, Dable didn't have the, once he knew that this was going to be an issue. Like, you know, you could get on him for not using that roster spot to pull up somebody from the practice squad if they thought it was going to be a concern. But to say that he should have had the punter trying things and, like, trying to do things, you know, or saying how come, like, I heard somebody say something like, how come they don't do that in practice regularly as far as a punter trying these things? Unless you're somebody that came up trying to make a college team and you were somebody that was capable of doing both and you were just trying to get on the team either way, and maybe you go back in this guy's history and find out that he used to do it in college or something like that,
yeah.
It's two totally different disciplines.
Yeah, but
it's like saying, you know, the number one wide receiver goes out and you ask the running back to go and take his spot and mad when he can't run a pattern and you know, make a play for you later on in the game. That is even kind of stretching it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a complete, like, I understand what you're saying. That's why there's two positions. That's why there isn't just one kicker
who does both.
But that doesn't change the fact that in an emergency, the guy kicks footballs for a living. Now, I understand it's a different discipline, but he's kicking the ball. He's never bothered to kick a field goal. Like, it's not apples and oranges. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I think we take it a little bit less and we underrate it. If you really understand what's going on between a field goal kicker and the way that they even approach the ball and what they're trying to do, the dynamics of the way they kick the ball itself. And what the punter is even trying to do, and the way that he approaches the ball when he gets it, it's two totally different disciplines.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking a snap.
You know, one and the same. But
I'm not saying they
are.
I'm saying in an emergency.
Not even the snap. But the way that their foot even comes into contact with the ball, what they're trying to do with it, it's two totally different things.
Yeah, I understand. But we've seen wide receivers throw passes. I mean, it's still throwing the football. It's not. He's a kicker. He kicks the ball.
That's a kid that, like, you know, it's throwing the ball. He's probably somebody who might have been a quarterback or tried to be a quarterback in high school or in college. And the coach knows that. And he said, well, you know what? This is a gimmick play. We're going to try that. It's a totally different thing. I don't want to make a big thing about it because if I could squeeze in my Jets point and my Yankees point real quick. The Jets thing, man. Oh, you could see it on the sideline. It was so good. Like, more than anything, that win yesterday was relief. Because I saw a couple of things that I wanted to see. And even when I talked to you before, I was kind of saying something about how I wanted Salah to play the game. If you saw the way they started that second half, it was kind of akin to what I was talking about. Because the defense was able to press on people. And offensively, we were at an ease where we were relaxed. And we were putting the pressure on them. And it allowed the defense to kind of – they went away from it a little bit, and the game got a little bit more competitive as it went on. But there were flashes in there when some of what I was talking about was what I wanted to see. I feel good that they got the win, and that's the relief now so that hopefully we can work on the things that went wrong and start to, like, you know, they were – if you listen to the broadcast, there was stuff where they were talking about with Aaron and when he was in Green Bay and a certain expectation of wanting to dominate. We didn't do that on Sunday. But I think, like, the more things that we get right, we can start to evolve now. I saw, like, ingredients of things that we can start to evolve to get to that point.
Yeah, no doubt. What's your Yankee point?
As far as my Yanks are concerned, I'm glad we got the series, but there was something I saw yesterday. And you might tell me that I'm making too much, a mountain out of a molehill or something like that. But there was a moment when Dominguez got on base, and I saw Judge at the top of the dugout, look at him with the, you know, making that little sign that they all do with the "I see you, I see you." There's something to be said for, like, you know, whether it came late or not. Dominguez being in that clubhouse right now, being around Judge and Soto, and being around his push, the fact that he contributed to some things yesterday. He's going to be part of certain conversations that might actually turn out to help him in the future just by, like, osmosis and being around.
No, I agree, Val. Being up here is good. I mean, Jeter and Posada were up for the 95 playoff. They didn't play, but they were with the team. I would hope and expect that Dominguez is going to have more of a role than they did in 95. But, yes, No doubt. Being around Judge, being around Soto, being around the Major League team, there's no doubt that benefits him. But, I mean, right now, I'm not that concerned about benefiting Dominguez. I'm not. I'm concerned about how can Dominguez benefit the team. I'm trying to win a championship. So you're not wrong, but I'm not that concerned about it. And that's not a reason to bring him up. The reason to bring him up is because he's a better option than what they have. And we'll find out if he is. Like, let's be fair. Here's the other thing about Yankee fans, just real quick, who want to call up Dominguez, got to play Dominguez, got to play Dominguez. If he plays the next week and they're giving Verdugo some time, Verdugo's been hitting. Verdugo's been over 300 now for the last 3 weeks. I've been clamoring for Dominguez. I want Dominguez here. I wanted him here. I was screaming about it. I was yelling about it. But if they both get some playing time over the next week and a half, 2 weeks leading into the playoffs, and Dominguez isn't hitting and Verdugo is, on some level, we have to be fair to ourselves and be honest with ourselves because we're clamoring about we want the best players. If Verdugo turns out to be the guy hitting better, then he's the one who should play. Like, that's it. It's about the best player playing. I'm hoping it's going to be Dominguez because I believe his ceiling is higher and I'm looking for him to be that guy, and I'm hoping he will over the next 2 weeks. But if they both are mixing and matching and they're both in the lineup when Stanton gets a day off or Judge DH is, or like whatever the case may be, if both of them play relatively enough where we get a good look at them down the stretch and Verdugo outplays Dominguez, then Yankee fans would be hypocrites to not say that Verdugo should be the guy who